Our sermon today is based on a reading from Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no vegetation of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Thank you, Sovereign God, for watching over us and guiding our growth. I'm so glad you are all here as we continue to learn and discern and sow and grow. Of course, it's going to be a long process. Starting a garden takes time and effort and patience. And what do you need to start a garden? Dirt, of course. You need a place and a space to properly prepare for the seeds you hope to grow, and that place and space must be made of dirt. This reminds me of a story I once heard. One day, a group of scientists got together and decided that man had come such a long way and therefore no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go and tell God they were done with him. The scientist walked right up to God and said, "God, we humans have decided we no longer need you. We're at the point that we can clone people and do many miraculous things, so we don't need you anymore. You can go your way." God listened very patiently to the scientist. After he was done talking, God said, "Very well, how about we do this? Since you're done with me, let's have a man-making contest before I go." The scientist replied, "Okay, great." And God added, "Now, we're going to do this the old-fashioned way, just like I did when I made Adam." The scientist said, "Sure, no problem." And he bent down and grabbed a handful of dirt. God looked at him and said, no, put that down. You go get your own dirt." I often say, as many times as I've read the Bible through, I made my first attempt at it when I was about 10 years old and quickly got bogged down in all the big gats. As many times as I've read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and even the Apocrypha in between, I always see something new in even the most familiar scripture that I've read countless times before. And yep, I saw something new as I began working on these sermons for our year of growth. In the first sermon, we looked at the Garden of Eden, specifically Genesis 2:15, which told us, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it." The nuance is subtle and you can absolutely miss it. God made the man outside of the Garden of Eden, and afterward put him in the garden to till it and keep it. The first human creation was not made out of the dirt in the sacred garden. He was created from the dirt outside the enclosed garden. Remember, one of the words translated garden in the creation story means an enclosed or walled-in park. The psalm we heard today reminds us God made humankind a little lower than the angels, or God, as the version we use says. God made man from the dirt that was outside the paradisical place, not of the holy dirt in the garden, but of the dirt outside the garden. The Bible was first written in Hebrew, and thus it's full of puns and quips that we miss in the English language. For instance, in Hebrew, Adam, A-D-A-M, means man, and Adama, spelled A-D-A-A-H, means dirt. So in Adam, the man made of Adama, dirt, we are made aware of the relationship human beings have with the earth. We are part of the earth outside the garden. And that earth, seeing it was made by God and God declared everything he made good, that earth was good earth until Adam and Eve disobeyed God and were banished from the Garden of Eden. God was stark in assessing their punishment. "Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." We want to get back to that garden and be part of the good dirt that was never cursed, the dirt that grew fantastic plants and trees, even the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and even the tree of life. Too few people realize just how much we are entwined with and in tune to the earth, and they scoff at those of us who assert that climate change is real and that destroying the earth means destroying ourselves. But according to this scripture, we have been taken from the earth, and we will return to the earth from which we were made when we die. God made man out of dirt to remind us of our frailty, our vitality, and impurity. I believe it's also to keep us humble when we remember what we have come from and to what we will return. With just dirt, just dust. Biblically, dust means something of little worth. But when the scripture says God formed the man out of the dust from the ground, the word formed describes a potter fashioning clay into a particular shape. The word implies great accuracy and exactness. Have you ever tried doing pottery? Have you ever tried throwing a pot? It takes patience and skill to get the lump of clay centered on the spinning wheel and ready to be formed into a pot or a bowl or other kind of serving vessel. When you have the clay on the wheel, you cup your hands around it and exert gentle pressure on it until you feel that moment of connection and centering when the clay relents and you know you can shape it into anything you would like. I suspect God had that same kind of aha moment when shaping Adam from the Adama. It felt right. It felt complete. It felt perfect. Sometimes we make the clay into a serving vessel, and surely that was God's intention for man, to make him into a serving vessel, to work alongside and with God in the beautiful garden. As Isaiah 64:8 says, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. But after the unfortunate fruit-eating incident, God sent the humans away out into the world, outside the garden, to till the ground and take care of the earth, which was no longer blessed. Now they would have to toil to make things grow. In the Garden of Eden, it was easy and delightful work. Outside the garden, it was hard and frustrating and distressing. I'm not much of a gardener myself, so I understand how frustrating gardening can be. But I also know planting something is a gesture of hope and a way to tap into the future. That's why I keep trying. Animals were made from the dirt too, just as Adam was. Genesis 1:24 and 25 says, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. So animals and humans originated from the same substance. Well, what made the big difference was that God breathed the breath of life into this creation, the Adam from the Adama that God had made in God's own image. First, it was just a clump, a lump, a bump. And then God breathed into the mound from the ground and became a living creature. It couldn't live until the breath of God entered into him. We can't live without the breath of God in us. The word for breath in Hebrew is ruach, the same word for spirit. So we can say God put his breath, his own spirit, into us. This word also entails a fascinating translation. It could either mean man became a living soul, or now man has a soul. And as with many biblical ideas and ideals, there is much debate about the terms. It means to me that we are both earthly and spiritual, both in this world and part of the world beyond this one. These can both be true. And we acknowledge that we're just dirt, but we're special dirt, more than just dirt. We have the breath of God in us, permeating our very being and endowing our essence with wisdom, with knowledge, with power. We can be duly proud of our possibilities, but we must always remember our humble beginning and the word from God that we have been made just a little lower than the angels. We are not perfect, that's for sure, but we are no less loved by God. And while the spiritual and earthly aspects of our lives can live in harmony, sometimes they clash. Will we ever experience reconciliation between the two? Yes, reconciliation is possible because of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians tells us that because of what the first Adam did, yes, humanity was doomed to die. But because of what the second Adam, Jesus, did, now we have hope for resurrection and restoration and reconciliation with God. The verse says, "For as in Adam all die, so all also in Christ shall all be made alive." This should give us some comfort and hope, the knowledge that we are not destined to wallow in our lostness forever, and the mistake our first parents made does not need to define and dismay us forever. I want to give my sisters out there a dose of comfort too. The story of the creation of woman is just as entertaining and endearing as the story of the formation of man. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man was this one taken." Yet despite this sweet and thoughtful beginning, all down through the ages, we women have been blamed for all the badness in the world for all time. Haven't you heard it yourself? If Eve hadn't eaten that apple, and we know it wasn't an apple. Even scripture can be used to assert that women are second-class citizens because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Paul says in 1 Timothy, "Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor." And that's why Paul said women should keep silence in church. Well, let me share with you something I read a long time ago, about the same time I was trying to delve into the Bible. In all these years, I thought this saying was from the Talmud, the Jewish book of law, ethics, philosophy, and tradition. But to my surprise, I just learned that it was written by a man named Matthew Henry, who wrote biblical commentaries in the early 16th century. I use his commentaries all the time when I'm doing sermon prep. I thought surely Matthew Henry was a product of his time, and he shared those notions Paul had about women. But this is what he wrote. "The woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected by him, and near his heart to be loved by him." Let me leave you with that to console and challenge you. And let me leave you with this question I read back around that same time that was deemed the question of the century by the magazine Science. Did Adam have a belly button? Things to make you go, hmm. Let us pray. God, creator, designer, who gives us the breath of life and the hope of reconciling our dual spirits, we ask you to continue shaping us, forming us, making us vessels that serve you with fierce devotion and gratitude for all you have done for us. May we never forget our connection to the earth that you so lovingly created. May we strive to care for it and grow into blossoms and blooms that honor and glorify you. Amen.